What do you think when I say the word game? You probably imagine being with friends and family and having fun. And you're right. And sometimes we play games on our own. For example, I like to play Sudoku when I get bored flying. You probably have a favourite game too. Some games are silly, others are more serious. But either way, they're fun. So why not turn health into a game? Stand by, Go Healthy for Good starts right now. I'm Dr. Nerida. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. When I was young, I hated vegetables, so my parents made up all kinds of games to encourage me to eat them. And I guess I was gullible, because I usually did. Nowadays, with apps and devices, technology is finding a way to turn healthy living into a game. Here's Dr. Stephen Yang, Research Associate at the Centre for Obesity Research. He's predicting the future. Watch.
My name's Stephen Yang. I'm a lecturer in kinesiology at SUNY Cortland. What we're starting to see is that games are everywhere. We play games and technology is embedded with us. Everywhere we've got a cell phone or we've got a walkie-talkie or we've got some sort of electronic device monitoring our fitness, our movement, our GPS tracking. So I think as devices and sensors get more integrated into our daily lives, and instead of being, you know, a separate device like a Garmin watch or something like that, it'll be part of all our watches. It'll be part of our foot sensors. It'll be part of our sneakers. It'll be embedded in our clothing. So we're going to see all this, and we're going to have this huge amount of data that's eventually going to get filtered up to the cloud. And what we want to see is people making great choices with that data, whether or not that data gets fed to a healthcare provider, whether it gets fed to your physician, whether it gets fed to your PE teacher, and whether it becomes part of our school health record. I think that's where we're going to really start to see a benefit to all this technology.
And today we meet a couple of technology designers who are doing just that. Sean will be here later and you don't want to miss what's coming out of the kitchen today. But first, the news. In the headlines today, fun and games with food, TV, video or computer, what's worse? And kids in sport, eat better, drink worse. A new study has shown that exposing young children to hands-on activities with unfamiliar fruits and vegetables prior to offering those foods in a meal made them more likely to eat them later. The toddlers aged 1 to 3 were divided into two groups. One group was encouraged to touch, smell, see and talk about the fruits and vegetables for several weeks before they were presented in a meal. The group with prior interaction were twice as likely to eat the familiar foods first than those with no prior exposure. So be patient and make new foods fun. Researchers from the University of Michigan found that sixth graders who watched a lot of TV were more likely to eat junk food and drink soda than their peers who spent the same amount of time on the computer or playing video games. However, kids who had 2 to 6 hours screen time a day weighed more and had higher blood pressure than those who put in less than an hour a day. So it's much better to be physically active than to watch TV while eating junk food. Could an active video game be a compromise? Well, an Australian study found that better family functioning and emotional well-being were linked to lower screen time. So follow the guidelines of no more than 2 hours a day. A recent University of Texas study investigated the foods and drinks consumed by elementary school children based on whether or not they played sport. They found that children who played sport were 2 to 3 times more likely to eat fruits and vegetables. Unfortunately, sports playing children also drank more soda and fruit-flavored drinks. Girls who engaged in sport ate more frozen desserts. So encourage the youngsters around you to be active and to make other healthy choices. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news. Today's interview was taped in Geneva, Switzerland, at the Seventh-day Adventist Church's Global Conference on Health and Lifestyle. We interviewed one of the guest speakers, Gerardo Romo Cadenas, Director for the Center of Engineering Research and Innovation from Monte Morales University in Mexico. Here he gives some background into how gaming began to be used to encourage exercise and healthy habits.
Yeah, that's really something very exciting that had came out like 4 or 5, 6 years ago, and it's been something wonderful. We have learned a lot out of it.
And, you know, some people might be viewing this and think that we're joking, but there's actually a new journal out called Games for Health, and
it's
a very serious journal, isn't it?
It is. Actually, there's a lot of people around the world that is exploring this idea of using video games to promote physical activity, to promote a healthy lifestyle, and there have been a lot of very interesting results, so it's worthwhile to share them.
Now, you're an engineer.
It is. I am.
Yeah.
You're right.
And what are you involved with?
Okay, look, we have this program in the University of Montemorelos, there's where I'm based, and we have this biomedical research lab in which we came up with this project in which we're trying to evaluate an impact of an extra gaming program that means physical...
So what's extra gaming?
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, you're right. Extra gaming, it's actually word made out of the two concepts. One will be exercise and the other will be video gaming. That's why we get this extra gaming out of it.
Okay. And how long has extra gaming been around? It's not that old. I mean, we've had video games for 60 years.
Yes.
But this concept of extra gaming, when did that begin? Tell us, give us a little history.
Yeah, there. Look, well, actually the concept came out around 2006. But the idea of using video games that somehow require human motion was around the 80s, when there was this company that came out with a device that you have to hold one hand in order to shoot some dots into the screen. It was very popular then. It was funny because the manufacturer learned that the users get tired by holding the zapper. And they have to change hands, they have to hold a boat, and they feel some pain in the shoulders. And so then they thought it was a good idea to try something else. And they got other devices that helped to engage physical activity, and it was all changed by the time we had this Dance Dance Revolution games, in which you have a song that has some routine in which you usually have to follow this footsteps routine, and they have to follow a certain pace. And there's where the research began, because there was a lot of things like doing aerobics in front of a screen. And that engaged the whole research we have right now.
On a hot day, there's nothing like a slice of cold watermelon. And coming up right after the break, there's a wonderful watermelon dish. But first, this.
Oh, I love the warm embrace of that sunshine. It's so comforting on my face.
Yeah, but you know, it's more than just comforting. Sunshine converts cholesterol to vitamin D in our skin. And vitamin D is important in preventing a number of serious illnesses like cancer and diabetes. In fact, if you have enough vitamin D, then you're 40% less likely to have diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And vitamin D also boosts our calcium absorption into our system, therefore strengthening our bones so we can resist osteoporosis, bone disease, and fractures as well.
That's true. And dark-skinned people like me, though, are more likely to be vitamin D deficient than fair-skinned people like yourself.
Is that right? So do people like yourself need more sunshine?
Yep. As much as 5 times more.
Wow, aren't you afraid of burning if you get that much?
Well, I'm more concerned that people don't get enough sunshine than getting too much. And besides, us darkies, we don't burn as quickly as you whiteies. But yeah, you shouldn't burn.
Well, I've also heard that vitamin D boosts our immunity.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Our T cells, which are the first line of defense for our immune system, absolutely need vitamin D to function.
And so if we want to resist colds and flus and other diseases, we need to get plenty of sunshine?
Yep, that's right. Doctor's orders.
Well, then I think it's my duty to sit back, relax, and absorb this beautiful sunshine.
Oh, I agree.
Thanks, Doc.
Welcome back, and we're in the kitchen, and today I've got Phil. Phil, welcome to the kitchen.
Thank you. I love being here.
What have you got?
Well, I love soup, but I love especially changing it up. So today I'm bringing a delicious watermelon gazpacho.
Mmm, now that I've never had. I'm interested to try this.
Yes, definitely.
What do we put in it?
Basically, we're starting off with 2 cups of roughly chopped watermelon, 3 cups of diced watermelon, and we'll explain that later. We want 1 cup of diced tomatoes, we want 1/2 cup of seeded and diced cucumber, 1/4 cup of diced red bell pepper, 1.5 tablespoons of finely cut fresh basil, we want 1.5 tablespoons of lime juice, 1.5 tablespoons of fresh mint, 1 tablespoon of red onion, diced, 1 teaspoon of minced ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of lime zest, 1/4 teaspoon of minced green serrano chili, and lime wedges for garnish. And I know it sounds like a lot, but it's actually a very easy recipe.
I'll take your word for it, if you have a sharp knife.
Yes, there's a lot of cutting and chopping involved, but it's worth it.
Right, and I presume you don't cook this.
No, this isn't cooked, it's all chilled in fact. So it's really just a process of cutting them. We're gonna be blending up the watermelon a little bit, and then that's it.
Wow, all right. What do you want me to do?
Well, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna start off with basically pureeing the watermelon, and then I'm gonna have you put the rest of our ingredients into a bowl because we're basically just pureeing it, and then we're gonna be mixing it together.
All right.
So I've got the roughly chopped watermelon. It doesn't matter because we're just gonna be pureeing it, so it doesn't need to look nice. Mm-hmm. But you've got the diced watermelon, and basically that's gonna be as it is, so we want it to be smaller chunks so it's not too difficult to eat.
All right, and I guess you could use a melon baller if you want and make little balls out of that.
You could. You could do it however you like. That's the great thing that I love about cooking, and especially this recipe, because you can pretty much do it however you want.
Mmm.
Now, I'm sure a lot of our viewers, as well as yourself, are used to just eating the fleshy part of the watermelon.
Yes.
In other countries, they actually eat the entire watermelon. It's all edible, seeds, rind, everything.
Seriously.
And so they'll put it into stir fry, they'll cook it up. But
wow.
It's a little bit sour, so it's something that not everybody is interested in doing.
Now, this looks like it's packed full of antioxidants. There's no cooking involved, and everything is so colorful, the dark green of the herbs, the tomato, the watermelon. This looks so nutritious.
It's terrific. And I even love it's a whole bunch of different flavors. You don't just have the watermelon, you don't just have the herbs. You've got the herbs, you've got the cucumber, you've got so many different ones. Even the chili, it's a little bit spicy, gives you a little bit of that.
Right. Now, how long do you set that aside to kind of fuse?
Set it aside at least 3 hours, but I recommend 12 to 24. That lets the flavors just kind of combine, and it actually brings out a little bit more color because you'll see it's a little pinkish here.
Right.
But we've prepared some earlier, and you can see that it's a bright red color.
Mmm. And I see you've got our lime garnish there.
which just
fell off. We'll put that back.
And the other thing that I love about any food, especially this one, is presentation. So if there's a way that you can make it look pretty and attractive, people are going to be more enticed.
That looks beautiful. Wow, it's time to try it. I've never had it before. That is really nice.
It is.
I can tell you're holding your breath for experimenting with me on camera. That is so nice. I would never have thought cucumber and watermelon could go well together like that. Well, this is a great summer soup, so you want to try it, and it's full of antioxidants. If you didn't catch all the ingredients, remember all of our recipes are on our website. When technology is used to encourage physical activity, it can be called exergaming. And here's an example of exergaming from Arbor Vale School, where children with special needs attend.
Abervale School is a special education needs and disability school for young people aged 3 to 19. We have young people in our school with every kind of different ability that you could imagine. We have specialist sports college status, and our specialism is physical education and sport.
As head of PE at Abervale School, I'm really excited about having the cardio wall in. Our initial trials and pilot with the cardio wall have shown that our pupils are engaged, they're excited, they're motivated. The behaviour's been fantastic. They've been prepared to queue up, wait, take turns, work in pairs. The teamwork's been fantastic.
For those less able, we want them to be working on the cardio walls to improve their mobility, their flexibility, their reach. It's a fantastic piece of equipment for general health and fitness. It works on repetition for our autistic young people. It's something that captures their imagination. We can be inventive with the way we develop the activities. And so far what we've seen is every young person that's tried the cardio wall has actually really enjoyed it.
They can play different types of games, for example chaser, where you are chasing the correct light and you can use a ball to throw at it, you can use your hands. There's the game clear out, where the objective is to clear as many of the lights as possible within a designated time.
I play wheelchair basketball, and the cardio wall will really help my eye-hand coordination. I like doing to aim for the red dot so I can do it as fast as I can so I don't run out of time.
It can also be used for GCSE PE for developing their hand-eye coordination and reaction times and proving that through sports science. It's very clear that it engages our types of students, no matter what their needs. So it's pretty universal, and I highly recommend it.
And getting kids engaged is the big key. What's also great in that video is seeing them learn to interact with each other and not being solely focused on the technology, but getting some life skills along the way. Active video games came to the market in the late 1980s. However, as technology has advanced, so has gaming. Our guests today are in the process of developing a video game for children. Gerardo Romo Cardenas is one of the developers, and I asked him if Monte Morales University is doing any research on their new game.
Actually, there are several places around the world. Most of them are in the States, in Europe, Japan. That makes sense because they are the principal video game consumer, and they are doing some serious research about it. We have this lab in Monte Morelos, and we are proud to say it is the only one in whole Latin America.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, good for you. So you've come up with a concept of trying to apply what you value most, which is health, mm-hmm. into the gaming world, yeah?
Exactly.
So what are you designing? What sort of game are you designing here?
Okay, well, actually, our goal is try to get to a video game that somehow enhances learning of whole healthy habits.
So the game won't be just about exercise. It's actually engaging the mind, transferring knowledge,
uh-huh.
about a holistic, healthy lifestyle.
Exactly.
And
that's
I love that concept. Mm-hmm. And so how close to finishing this are you?
We are several months away from there.
So that close?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Now, I presume that you've done some research along the way because you're a researcher.
Yeah, with the...
And so you've done some measurements.
Yes, actually, and we're very, very happy with the results. We are trying to measure the actual impact of using these kind of games. We have learned that there are a lot of people that say that they work. There are a lot of people that say that it doesn't, but it's kind of confusing. So we realize that we have to develop a whole method on how to measure that. The fitness, the psychomotor development of the kids by interacting with video games. And so we developed this program in which we use some tests in order to know variables related to their fitness, to their emotional state, to the way how they learn. And then we just submitted to this program, which they go for around 4 weeks playing with video games. And then we evaluated again at the end. And we just got very good results. There are kids that burn around 400 calories in a session.
One one hour session. And they're doing that 5 days a week?
4 days a week.
Four weeks. So 1 hour a day, 4 days a week, 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm very keen to hear these results, but you're seeing that with the way that you're measuring, they're burning 400 calories in each session. And so we know that probably 30 to 50% of children are getting the recommended amount of exercise, which is 60 minutes of playtime. Mm-hmm. And ideally that would be outside, but mm-hmm. they're doing this inside, or is your game portable enough that they can do this outside?
Okay, actually, there's a very complex answer to that question. That's a very good question, Will, because you see, we are dealing with kids that are somehow attracted for technology. They're tried with it, they learn with it, they live with it. And so actually there's a very good argument saying that it's because of technology that we have a very serious problem with obesity and overweight in children, which is true.
So you're engaging children at an interface that they're used to using.
That's their language. And if somehow we're blaming technology for that, well, let's turn around this paradigm. Let's use technology, which is what the kids like, what they feel attracted to, but now to enhance physical activity.
Once this game does come out and it's commercially available, what equipment will be needed by parents to get this game for their children?
Okay, that would be very easy to answer because so far we have developing our software, and we only use the Kinect sensor developed by Microsoft, and that's all they need, the device, the computer, and that's it.
So that equipment is already out there.
Yeah.
It's just the software that you're mm-hmm. bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not going to be particularly expensive.
No.
Now, is it possible to do it in an outdoor environment?
Yes, actually, that's one thing we're working on, because we're dealing also with the people with the education department, because we need that. We need the kids to go outside. And we know we can use technology in order to do the right measurements and send the right message in order to do some challenges that require the kid to go outside. That's what we need. And we're pretty sure that we can use technology in order to enhance that.
On the other side of the break, get ready for TV gaming. But before that, think about this. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable about an evil spirit being removed from a man, and it goes out and is unable to find a new home. So it returns to the man and finds his life clean, decorated, and empty. Guess what happens next? The evil spirit goes out and brings another 7 spirits, more evil than itself, and they set up residence in the man. His end result is worse than it was at the beginning. A rather gloomy parable. So what was the point that Jesus was making? I think he was saying that the focus should not be on removing the evil, but on replacing it with something good and wholesome. So let's apply that principle to video games. We could focus on eliminating all video games from our children's lives and risk causing resentment and rebellion. Or we could use the principle of finding something better for them. That might include a video game that encourages them to study the Bible, or gaming that encourages movement and exercise. While it's not as good as outdoor play, it's a great compromise that can keep them moving on cold and rainy days and teaches important concepts about good health. And besides, we're never too old to play either. Welcome back. Now it's time to join us because Sean's here and we're going to get active.
There you go.
What you got, Sean?
So today we have a kettlebell which you can grab at any one of your local sports stores, and a resistant band. They come in a variety of strengths. Typically the yellow is the more lighter, the green is your middle, and your red, danger, is the more...
Danger.
Yeah. Is the more tougher. I tend to use it. So let's start with a warm-up. We're going to start with a high knee, okay? I'm going to do the low-impact version, which I'm just bracing my knees up, okay? And Dr. Narada is a pro at this, all right? And what I want you to do is set your timer for about 30 seconds. Use your arms, keep your chest up, eyes up. And I'm not going to count. I'm going to let Dr. Narada run out of breath.
Yeah, I think we're
done. 3, 2, and 1. That is a great exercise to get warmed up. As you can see, your heart rate is popping up already,
yep.
Right? And you feel like your body's prepared for working out.
It sure is.
I'm going to introduce the kettlebell swing, and I'm going to have you do it.
All right.
The swing The kettlebell is a great tool because it's a heavy weight and allows you to work your entire body with one exercise. I'm going to show you. Very, very famous exercise called a double hand swing. What you're going to do is hold your weight here, eyes forward, and bring it back and stand up. As you can see, my arms are relaxed. The only thing that's really moving are my hips as it pushes forward and I stand up from the squat position, okay? So remember, your arms stay relaxed like a pendulum and you're gonna stand up. Push your hip forward to me. 3, 2, 1, go. Yes. Now, what I want you to do is practice this for about 30 seconds. As you get more advanced, you can do it with a single hand. You can do it with double hand, go back to the single hand again. Okay, 3, 2.
So don't let go.
Don't let go, or...
Or you might lose the kitchen...
There you go, whatever it is.
Bench.
So that's a kettlebell swing. It's a very good total body exercise. Burns tons of calories. The heavier you go, the more it challenges your cardiovascular system. That's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So remember, we got your resistant band. I'm gonna demo this one for you. And this is your simple squat, I mean your standing resistant band bicep curl, okay? Here, but what I want you to do is as you bring it here, I want you to bring it to the side. All right, working two different angles of the biceps. Okay, the forward and then to the side. Okay, this is called a superset. Pretty much working the same muscle. But two different exercises, two different angles, rather, okay? Oh. You can try it.
Oh, I was enjoying doing without the band. You got your band?
There you go. So to the front and to the side, to the front, to the side.
You can even do this with a can of peas.
There you go, that's a good idea. Can of peas and whatever you want to do. About 8 pounds, 5 pounds, 3 pounds. It's just the timing. If you can do it for about 30 to 45 seconds, you get a good quality workout.
Great.
Last one I'm gonna show you is a squat. This is a fun one. All you gotta do is squat down, okay? As you come up, you press, okay? Squat down, come up, and press. Squat down, up, and press, okay? Another total body exercise to kind of recruit a lot of muscles to burn calories. We are a society where we are limited for time. So you want to be able to do these total body exercises for about 5 minutes. Just keep on going through, set the kitchen timer, and go for it.
Yeah, so you're not isolating one muscle, we're using everything.
There you go. So since we use all those muscles, let's stretch it out. I love this exercise because you can just relax.
Yeah.
Switch, switch. 3, 2, and one.
All right, great. Thanks, Sean.
You're very welcome.
Smoking and lung cancer are strongly associated. Not smoking or quitting smoking is the first step in preventing lung cancer. After that, can what we eat make a difference? Yes, fruit can. The Adventist Health Study found a strong protective effect against lung cancer by eating fruit at least twice a day. A fruit smoothie, a nectarine, or ripe banana all protect against lung cancer. Eating fruits to prevent cancer is another ageless advantage.
Now it's time for your questions. Michelle called and said, I eat healthily, I exercise regularly, I have a thyroid problem, and I've been taking low-dose levothyroxine for months, but haven't noticed any difference. What should I do? Well, I would recommend that you get a second blood test and another opinion from a good endocrinologist. Got a text from Mrs. Smith. She says, I'm in my 50s. How can I lose belly fat? Well, there are things that predispose to belly fat. So these are the things that you need to do. Reduce your stress, sleep 7 to 9 hours every night, avoid all white food like white sugar, white flour, white rice, white pasta, and eliminate all high fructose corn syrup from your diet. Replace those things with whole grains, legumes, veggies, and fruit. Have a few nuts every day. Drink 8 to 10 glasses of water between meals, and try to increase your walking up to 10,000 steps a day. Elizabeth asked, I have diabetes. Can I use lemons or should I avoid them? Well, lemons are fine for diabetes. In fact, many fruits are fine for diabetes. But with lemons, they erode the enamel on your teeth. That's an irreversible process, so you don't want to overdo the lemons. Thanks for those questions. Remember, you can phone, email, text or Facebook. Now come on down to the supermarket.
How many carrots have you eaten in your lifetime?
countless, I'm sure. In fact, many of us were weaned on cooked, mashed carrots. Originally, carrots were eaten for their leaves and their seeds. Nowadays, though, we just eat the taproot and we tend to throw the leaves away. However, dill, fennel, cumin are aromatic relatives of the carrot. Carrots are a summer crop and can be companion plants. It's said that if they're intercropped with tomatoes, that you get a better yield from your tomatoes. And if you leave them to flower, well, they attract predatory wasps, which can deal with your garden pests. In the humble carrot are several compounds. Polyacetylenes are compounds that can kill cells. So some people use carrot juice as part of their fight against cancer. They also have antifungal compounds in them, which can give them a bitter taste. Steaming and stir-frying are great ways to eat carrots, and many people use baby carrots as part of their weight loss snacking regime. A baby carrot has only 5 calories. Bon appetit. I want you to meet another member of the Monte Morales University's research team, Dr. Hiner Aviles Rodriguez, who is also the director of the County Health Office in General Terán. I asked him how effective they've found their new video game to be for weight loss, since obesity is so common in children.
Lots of people, researchers in this area are asking that question. What we have found in our research with a 1 month intervention, four weeks a day, 1 hour a day, we have been able to statistically prove or have evidence that kids will lose around 20% of body fat percentage. They will also lose body mass index around 6 or 7 points in the index.
They will That's also gain huge in four
it is,
weeks.
It is.
So 20% of their fat mass, BMI going down 6 or 7 points in just 4 weeks. That's about 16 hours
again,
over 4 weeks.
Yeah, again, these are preliminary results. We have to get a larger sample and a longer intervention, you know, but the initial results are good, are promising.
Did they change their diet? Or is that part of the program?
It will be part of the program right now.
For that part, it wasn't.
For that part, it wasn't. Yeah,
wow.
We didn't control their diets.
That's fantastic. And was it effective for getting kids fit?
That is a very complicated question. Fitness, I mean, when you think about fitness, you have to think about three things. You have to think about it, aerobic capacity, or the ability for a kid to properly use oxygen within his body. You have to think about flexibility and strength. I can tell you that it did help with strength, the lower part of the body. We have evidence that statistically significant that it did make him stronger, and it did make him more flexible. So yes, it is helping, and it is affecting on a positive way some of the components of fitness.
Did you measure how comfortable children were exercising before and after the 4 weeks?
That is a good question too. We want to measure it. The thing is, being comfortable is quite a subjective variable, you know.
Probably. Did you notice, just even eyeballing
them,
did you see a boost in confidence?
We did notice some of the kids, those who were the most overweighted or obese, some of them had complexes, or they had ways of thinking that they didn't want to go out and play with their friends. They didn't want to come to begin with. Once they started coming, they didn't want to stop coming back. And their parents told us, "What did you do to my kid? He now wants to get involved in sports, or he now wants to go out and play." So yes, kids loved it. They wanted to keep coming back.
Wow. Now, games is probably not your particular study, but is there research around the use of games for self-management of disease, like, say, diabetes or asthma? I'm thinking some of those childhood diseases.
Yeah.
And I know we're just talking about children at the moment, but some of those childhood diseases, are games useful for that?
Yeah, there has been some publications regarding those issues. There is a concept that is very important here, and it's the gamification of an experience. For example, your personal care, your you taking care of your own sickness, diabetes per se, or asthma in a kid. The kid has to know or has to learn that there are some things that he has to do or she has to do in order for the kid to be healthy. If we gamify that experience, let's say if the kid knows that he will get points for making sure that he always wears a jacket or that he takes care of his lungs or in any way.
Or that he measures his peak flow in the morning and uses his puffer.
Exactly.
So he'll score points for
exactly.
that.
If he gets scores, and the kid will love it. He will say, I want to play this game. I have to do it anyway, but I'll have fun while doing
so
it.
So you've turned the hazards in life into the game of life.
Exactly. We gamify the experience.
We're talking about turning the hazards of life into the game of life, but does the novelty wear off for children? You know, let's say it's asthmatic and they're now using their inhaler and they're scoring their points. Does that wear off? Do do kids tire of the same game?
That is a very good question. And we have to answer that question. We have to approach that question by thinking about a concept called engagement. Engagement in this line of work is very important. And Generation Z kids, which are those kids that were born from 2000 and on, are kids that do not engage, do not usually engage. Their attention span is very limited. They always want to have more, be stimulated very often. Engagement is a serious topic when it comes to them. So what we do with how we work engagement, we gamify the experience. We vary the experience very often, and also we throw the social component. We make them play with their peers. We don't make them play by themselves because we believe that technology is not the answer. It's just a tool, you know. We still believe that the most important thing here is to learn how to deal with each other, to go outside, to go outdoors and smell fresh air and experience an outdoors experience.
So you envisage getting kids linked through social media, and so one asthmatic will be competing against his cousin or a stranger in another country
definitely.
Because they just met on the social
media. In another country and also in the same room, they can all come together or go to an extra gaming lab for a session, just as if you were to your swimming class or your ping pong class or tennis class. You go to your extra gaming session and then you see your friends and you play together. This is very important for engagement.
After the break, Dr. Avila Sorigas will tell us how adults are improving health outcomes with games, so don't go away. And we're back. Here's another video from Exagame Fitness.
My name is George Velarde. I'm the physical education department chair at Sierra Vista Junior High School. Well, what motivates me, part of my passion, is seeing the kids wanting to improve on their fitness level, but also making this a changed lifestyle for them. When they can understand the health benefits behind what they do with extra gaming. You know, with technology moving so fast, it always feels like we're always catching up. The things we're seeing more and more is much more interaction. Extra gaming products that are much more interactive with the kids, they're getting feedback almost instantaneously. Teachers are also getting that feedback and data, which we want to show and teach our kids, but also to communicate that with our parents and with our administrators. I feel that the more data we can record, the better it's going to help our kids so that they understand why and what they're doing. If that can help them as they get older in making that change of making fitness as part of their lifestyle, that alone right there is very rewarding.
We're talking today with the developers of a game that encourages kids to learn about healthy living and about making fitness a part of their lifestyle. I asked Dr. Rodriguez how games have also been used for adults.
They have been used for improving psychomotor skills, and also they have been used in the treatment of post-stroke patients, the rehabilitation of people who have had strokes.
So this is for the elderly. Yep. We're talking about, you know, what, 2/3 of elderly will fall after the age of about 65. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about using games in that age group to reduce the risk of falls,
yes,
improve balance,
yeah,
and
definitely.
Then in stroke recovery.
Physiotherapy and recovery. Also, it improves their, it keeps their minds busy, you know, and it also, therefore, it improves their mental capacity and cognitive functions. Mm-hmm. Another thing, again, it is very important to keep them playing within them, you know, expose them to this intervention as a group. Because when you see a bunch of elderly ladies playing, I've seen a bunch of elderly ladies playing any extra game. They get all excited and, girl, you did it so good. And that is very important. And I wouldn't say that's the most important part, but it is one of the key aspects of extra gaming. Again, technology is not there to control us. We need to use it as a tool. And again, reinforce the social connections within our population.
I love that concept, because social cohesion can be very fractured in the elderly, yeah, because a lot of their friends have,
yes,
died. But through this, you're connecting, yeah, a common ground. It's a game.
Yes. And we go back to the gamification of the experience. Some elderly people don't want to be seen playing because they have lost some motor skills. And they feel ashamed or whatever. When you gamify the experience, everybody comes together. They might laugh at what's going on. They won't feel that pressure on them to hide what they have lost.
So it changes rehab from being a very serious handicap recovery, yeah, to something that's
a fun experience.
Fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And now I understand that even physicians are being trained with games now.
Yes, it is slowly but surely going on. You have, as a physician, you have to understand that technology has come to stay with us. It's not going anywhere. And the more time that goes by, the more technology will get into every single aspect of our lives. And as physicians, we can now prescribe, if you may say that, an extra gaming intervention instead of a pill, or just like you prescribe a pill, you could prescribe an extra gaming intervention.
Well, that's true, because where I come from in England and in New Zealand, mm-hmm, we call it a green prescription. You prescribe exercise for your patient,
yeah, yeah,
and they go down to the to the local county swimming pool or whatever it is, and they can have free access. So, yeah, this is another way of doing that, I guess. Now, can you get too much of a good thing? Can games take over your life?
Yeah, definitely. If you can get addicted to the gamification of things, definitely, and you can also get addicted to the strategies for engagement. You have to be, as in everything in life, you have to be balanced, you know, and you have to teach kids, specifically kids from the Z generation or Generation Z. These kids have a very challenging time or have a problem learning how to administer or manage their schedule or their everyday schedule. They have this huge capacity of going through a big amount of information, but they're not well equipped on how to administer all that.
And so regulate it
and all that. Yeah, so that's why an extra gaming intervention is not the whole answer. It's just another part of the story, you know. Family cohesiveness, your social connection, the influence of your church is still as important as it was when the church was founded.
Now, are there particular games that are better than others at improving fitness, or are there some that are hazardous? Tell us a little bit about, if we were going to go out and buy a game, what are we looking for?
Yeah, I would recommend that we look for games that do not promote violence. There are some out there, commercial games, that do not produce violence. God willing, eventually we will be producing our own games, so the Seventh-day Adventist community or other people can access games that promote a healthy lifestyle.
A special thanks to Gerardo and Hanir. If you want to buy an exa game for the youngster in your life, be sure it does not involve acting out violence. Then set about finding one that encourages healthy habits and gets them moving. If they can play it with their friends or brothers and sisters, it will help to keep them engaged. And if your child has a chronic condition such as asthma, check with their doctor to see if you can gamify their self-care. Of course, it doesn't remove the oversight that you still need to provide. However, you could see a big shift in their attitude to their own illness. That's all for me today. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.